This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back into the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM on a Thursday. We are live from downtown Las Vegas. Michael Lombardi and Stormy Bonatoni with you. The Sweet 16 getting underway today. We've got some great guests this hour, Michael, who are going to help us talk it all through in about 15 minutes. Professional handicapper Mike Somich is going to join us. We'll have the one and only Mike Palm, VP of Circa Resort and Casino, at the end of the hour. And right now on the line, Maddie Eumanns, host of VSiN Tonight, also part of the great college basketball betting podcast. Matt has been crushing it this college basketball season. Excited to have you with us. How's it going?
I'll tell you what, I thought that Patrick and Michael were a dynamic duo, but man, this is crazy. You two are unbelievable together.
Oh, yeah, that's so nice of
you,
Matt.
You're very sweet. We're very Italian.
Yeah, exactly. We use our hands a lot, you know, and we talk recipes in between breaks. You know, we talk about Sunday dinner and recipes and all that. So, Maddie, let's start. We saw some of the things you like in the tournament. So we start Thursday. We get to the Elite Eight. What's your best bet on the board going into this?
Okay, best bet on Thursday game?
Yeah, or the whole, over the let's just do the whole weekend because we may not have you the rest of the weekend. So I like to know Thursday and Friday. What you got?
Okay, I'm going to go with UConn on the money line tonight against Arkansas as my best bet. And, Michael, I don't know if you've talked to Eric Musselman this week. But he's one of those guys that he's got the magic when it comes to tournament time. He knows how to win, how to get his team prepared for tournaments. But he's got a really young team, and especially young guards. And I think UConn's a little bit too strong in the middle. The offensive rebounding is going to be a big deal. I would say no team in the tournament right now has been more impressive than the Huskies. And Adama Sanogo, the big man, has 52 points, 21 rebounds. He's 24 for 33 from the field. He's going to be a handful for the Hogs. And I think UConn finds a way to get there tonight. That's a short money line price. I laid minus 180. I think Danny Hurley and UConn win a close one against Arkansas. I don't really have a take it to the bank type of game here in the Sweet 16. I've got a lot of bets, but it's kind of hard to pick out one as the best bet. I would say UConn tonight would probably be it, though.
So let me ask you this. You're well-versed in the college hoop game. Why is Kansas State a dog tonight? Like, I know the Izzo factor is real. I get that. Mm-hmm. He's a great coach. But I thought Kansas State, the way they played against Kentucky, the point guard, Norrell, I mean, they have all the ingredients of a team that wins this time of the year.
That's a great question. And that's the type of a line that makes you a little bit leery of K-State. It's not just the way they played against Kansas. It's the way they played the entire season and out of the toughest conference in the country, which is the Big 12. Going into the NCAA tournament, I had Kansas State power rated 3 points better than Michigan State. And I know other handicappers who had it around 3 or even 4. So why is Michigan State a 1.5, or we even saw a 2-point favorite this week against K-State? I really can't explain that. I think it's the Izzo factor, and the fact coaching matters a little bit more. At this time, you have quick turnarounds and unfamiliar matchups, and he gets the benefit of the doubt against Jerome Tang, who's a rookie head coach. But I like K-State a little bit here. I did not play this one yet because of the fact Michigan State's a favorite, and it looks a little bit fishy to me. And, I do respect Izzo, but, hey, I watch Big Ten basketball almost every night this season. Not once did I think, wow, this Michigan State team could get to a Final Four. Yeah. The Spartans showed up at the Big Ten tournament, played one game, got their butts beat by 10 by Ohio State and went home. Okay? and that's the last team standing from the Big Ten? Some of these things from a handicapping perspective just don't make sense, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. I really respect what Jerome Tang has done. And you mentioned Marquise Noel, but he and Keontae Johnson have been a force and a really exciting pair to watch in this tournament. So I don't have a bet in this game, but I do have I'm holding out hope on the 38-1 on Kansas State to win it all. Probably won't get there, but a girl can dream.
No, why not?
Let's look at the other game that's coming up tonight at T-Mobile Arena and Gonzaga and UCLA going head to head. We are very like-minded on one of your plays here, taking the under 146. What sold you on that? You think UCLA is going to be able to slow Gonzaga down?
I think Mick Cronin has to do that because he lost Jalen Clark, his best defender, number three scorer. David Singleton, I think, is going to play. Aiden Bona, I think, is going to play. Singleton's the best three-point shooter, and Bona, their big man. But Gonzaga is number one in the nation in offensive efficiency. Zags score 87 points a game. UCLA, number two in defensive efficiency, allow 60.2 points a game. I think Mick Cronin, who's really good at dictating games, I think he knows he has to manage this game. He's going to control possessions. He's going to limit transition opportunities for the Zags. And UCLA's got to be patient running its half-court offense and try to win a 70-65 type of game, because Cronin doesn't have the type of depth here to run with the Zags, and he knows if he gets in a running game, he's probably going to get beat. So that's why I like this game under 146, because usually the better defensive team can dictate the pace of the game.
Yeah, I mean, and this is the time where Gonzaga is usually the pressure is always on them, right? And now it seems like they're playing a little looser, less pressure on them as they move forward. And, you know, look, I think Cronin, I've said this before on the show, I thought when he first got hired there, I was like, oh, that doesn't seem like a good fit. But his mental toughness and his game strategy, I think, makes them a dangerous out.
It does. I thought UCLA was going to be my pick to win the whole thing before the Jalen Clark injury. It's hard to really explain to those who haven't watched UCLA all season how important he was to that team. Michael Stormy, he might have been the best defender in the country. Plus, he's a good scorer. He was their number three scorer, you know, behind Jaime Jaquez and Tiger Campbell. I thought UCLA was the best team in the nation. You take him out, they didn't have much depth anyway. And that's a tough situation. I can't really pick a side tonight because I think you're right. The Zags are flying under the radar a little bit in the past. They've been the hunted. They've been the number one seed. Now they're kind of the hunter in this matchup, and I think they're dangerous tonight. Plus, they're at full strength, and UCLA is not.
Well, and that's why I think we've seen some love and people taking the points, because how often are you going to get Gonzaga plus 2.5? We're seeing now plus 1.5. They're a team that doesn't turn the ball over, number one in the country in offensive efficiency, which I'm just super excited to see this game in general. I think it's going to be a blast down at T-Mobile Arena tonight. Two fan bases that are both used to being here in Vegas for their conference tournaments, and so hopefully it's a good show out, and the number one offense against the number two defense will be a fun head-to-head here. San Diego State, I'm a little bit anxious here.
Give her some assurances, Matt, please.
That you and Will Hill have both come on here taking the points with San Diego State. Please just talk me through it. I bet it as well. I'm very excited to see if San Diego State defensively can rein Alabama in, similar to UCLA, kind of slow the game down a little bit here. It seems like you think they can.
Yeah, that takes courage. You bet on your favorite team, so if the Aztecs go down, you're going to be doubly crushed, right? You're going to lose money, and you're going to lose your favorite team.
You got to risk it to get the biscuit, Matt.
Hey, we've got Bruce Arians over here now today.
Hey, you know what? I've been watching San Diego State basketball up close for more than 20 years now, and one thing the Aztecs do, they can dictate games. I was talking about Mick Cronin trying to make the Gonzaga team play his pace. I think San Diego State absolutely has to do that to Alabama, and Brian Dutcher knows how to do it. Steve Fisher before him knew how to do it. San Diego State averages about 65 possessions per game. Alabama plays at about 73 possessions per game. Aztecs got to get this closer to 65, and they got a shot. Now they're not playing Charleston, Furman, or a Mountain West opponent here, so they can't survive, I would say, more than one scoring drought in this game, because if you watch San Diego State, Stormy, and I know you do, the Aztecs tend to go through some scoring droughts on the offensive end, and you can't survive more than one of those against Alabama. I think I took plus 8 with San Diego State here. I played a little bit under 137.5 because I do think the Aztecs, who, by the way, number one in the nation in defensive efficiency since the beginning of February, I think their defense has to dictate this game. Brandon Miller is going to be the best player on the floor, obviously, and he's probably going to put the tide over the top. But I think it's going to be a close game where Alabama wins by 4 or 5 points, something like that.
5-1 ATS, their last six games, just saying.
Go ahead. I mean, defend yourself here. I think it's true. I think that San Diego State has that ability. Dutcher has the ability to play with the pace, control it. And I think, Matt, I just think Alabama, with all the stuff that surrounds them, Nick Saban suspending that kid for being in the wrong, there's no such thing as being in the wrong place at the wrong time, right? So you could just tell there's a disconnect within the university just by that statement alone. I think the pressure's on Alabama. And if this game gets to 6 minutes to go in the fourth, in the second half, and it's tight, I think they get tight.
Well, one thing about this tournament, and we've already seen it with some, number one, two, three seeds have gone down. When the games get tight late, the pressure's on the favorite.
Yep.
And sometimes those favorite teams choke down the stretch because the pressure is intense in this tournament. And you're right about this. Alabama has been dealing with a lot of distractions for, I would say, a better part of a month, for over a month now. And at some point, I thought it was going to catch up to this team. We'll see. I don't know if it's going to happen against San Diego State, but I think the Aztecs are good enough to hang with Bama for most of 40 minutes here.
Matt, last minute here. Any feel for this FAU-Tennessee game coming up tonight?
You know, a lot of times in sports betting, people like to bet what they saw last. And what we saw last, Tennessee in a dominant performance against Duke. But that was the Vols' A game, and I don't think they're going to replicate that here. They are number one in three-point shooting percentage defense. They've got five seniors, and Fort Atlantic scores 44% of its points on three, so it's not a great matchup for an Owls team with a small front line. But this Fort Atlantic team is athletic. I think you're going to see some, you know, they won 30-plus games for a reason. And you're going to see some offensive regression from Tennessee, which is not going to shoot the three ball like it did against Duke. And I think you're in for a tight game here. I did take Fort Atlantic plus 5.5.
Matt, great stuff. Thank you.
Love it, Matt. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate
you. Bet. Thanks.
Follow him at MattEumans247. And make sure you check out the College Basketball Betting Podcast today. Downloadable wherever you get your podcasts. We are going to step aside, continue the Sweet 16 talk with professional handicapper Mike Somich after a quick break.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com and check out the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving for every game? Well, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes. So you can see the changes in action. Find out where the public's betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, another way VSiN's here to make you a more informed, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. Particularly beneficial on a day like today where we do have the Sweet 16 tipping off in just a few hours. The first game at 3:30 p.m. Pacific, 6:30 Eastern, Kansas State and Michigan State. Thank you to Matt Eumanns for joining us a moment ago. And now we will continue our Sweet 16 conversation as we welcome in Mike Somich to the program at SamaBomb18, professional handicapper. And I feel like every day that we come in and we're talking about the tournament, it feels like Christmas. It's just the best time of year.
Oh, it's wonderful. I love this Thursday and Friday. I wish the game started a little bit earlier. I love having that morning action last week, but the anticipation of these eight games that we have over the next 2 days is absolutely phenomenal.
It really is. I mean, and it's just kind of, it builds. And living on the West Coast now, it's even better because now you can stay awake for the games. I mean, you know, you fall asleep on the couch trying to watch these games, and then you got to catch them at later at night. So I'm like, I'm all messed up. I'm like, oh, the Sixers play tonight. Oh, they've already played. You know, it's like, I'm in one of those moods. So yeah, it's fun.
When I lived on the East Coast and I tried to watch San Diego State basketball or football, I'm like staying up until 2 o'clock in the morning to watch it. Not worth it. Not worth it. But these games certainly are, Mike. And let's get into it because I know you do have a bet on that very first game of the slate today. And we were talking a lot on the show already. Like, the Tom Izzo effect is certainly happening when it comes to March basketball. But how can we forget how this Kansas State played throughout the course of the regular season, playing in the most competitive conference in college basketball as well? You like Kansas State tonight. Talk us through it.
Yeah, I do. I mean, you hit the nail on the head there, Stormy, right? You've got Michigan State, the last standing Big Ten team in a conference or coming from a conference that I was not impressed with all year, versus Kansas State, who's playing out of the Big 12 and has played phenomenally well. It's a situation where what Michigan State wants to do, which is slow this basketball game down and force a half-court basketball game, is something Kansas State's absolutely fine doing. They actually have a very good half-court defense. I think they're going to be able to hold this Michigan State offense in check. And I think Kansas State has more playmakers on the offensive side of the ball as well. I agree with Matt, who was on the previous segment. I had this game as Kansas State -3 or -4 before this tournament started, Now we're sitting here plus 1.5. I just took the money line. I took the plus 105 here. I think Kansas State's able to get the job done relatively easy tonight against Michigan State.
You know, there's a bias that affects the NFL draft market. It's called preference bias. It's when you really, when there's a lot of momentum on social media or outside forces that people don't want to go against. And I think this Izzo, look, I think he's a great coach. But Matty Heumann said it really well when he was watching the Big Ten tournament. And we know Matty Heumann's watches Big Ten as basketball as much as anybody. Like, I never thought this team would be an Elite Eight or a Final Four team, nor did I. And so I think that is, whereas Kansas State, when you watch them play against the athleticism of Kentucky, and I'm not saying Kentucky's a great team, but they have talent, they were really ultra impressive. I just don't understand how you're getting points in Kansas State, Mike.
Yeah, I think a lot of it's the Tom Izzo factor. And you guys talked about it last segment as well. Just a Bill Belichick-esque figure as a head coach. People just don't want to bet against him and lose money. They feel dumb when they do, but that often means that you're going to get some value on the other side. I'm surprised that you're still be able to catch the 1.5 here with Kansas State. It does make me pause a little bit because this line just smells a little fishy. But at the same time, I think I'm getting the better team here in an arena where I think both these teams will play very well. You have two New York point guards going in and taking on each other at Madison Square Garden. Should be a phenomenal atmosphere for it. To me, it's a great matchup for Kansas State. They are not going to get overwhelmed by someone shooting the three over them or get run out of the stadium. This is the style of game they want to play. This is the style of team they want to play. And so to be getting points with them in this spot is just too good for me to pass up.
And help me get over 6.5 assists with Marquise Noel. That would be nice today.
Oh, I think that's a lock, don't you? I
mean, that kid plus 105, plus money. Just saying. Just throwing it out there. But how much fun is he to watch,
honestly? You know what? I mean, Izzo's smart enough. I mean, you got to force Noel to shoot you. Like, you've got to play off him. If you get up on him, he's going to get by you. I think you got to force him to say, okay, make shots today, which
he can too, though.
Which,
like,
he
that's
can
the
do
thing
I mean
is,
he was launching
shoot.
Those three pointers the other day, my lord.
He can drive the lane, he can dish it to anybody. One of my favorite players to watch in the tournament. Let's keep it rolling here in Las Vegas, and you are coming out to Sin City this weekend as well. Gonzaga and UCLA going head-to-head later on this evening. The number one offense in the country taking on the number two rated defense team. Obviously no Jalen Clark out there, but that hasn't stopped UCLA from being solid defensively. How do you see this one playing out?
I think this is where Jalen Clark hurts them. That injury has been something that we've talked about quite a bit since the Pac-12 tournament. They need him on the court specifically in this game. This is where you're going to see that loss. They're just not as deep without him out there. He's number one rated defensive player in the country. The metrics for UCLA just aren't as good when he's not on the floor. Not having him today against Gonzaga is going to make a big difference for Gonzaga. I would agree with this line if he was playing. With him out, I have Gonzaga as a 2-point favorite here, so I'm going to roll with the Zags. I took the money line here as well. I'd just rather take the plus 105 than the plus 1.5. I think Gonzaga has a good shot at getting through. And there's a bunch of trends that are against Gonzaga here, but they're all because they didn't cover in the first two rounds. Well, both of those games they could have easily covered. They went on a 16-0 run against Grand Canyon in the second half, were up 20, giving 15.5, gave up some late points. And then you had a miracle three-point shot from TCU, or else they'd have covered both rounds, and all the trends would say to be playing them in this spot. So for me, this is another game where I think that the favorite is just wrong. I think it should be Gonzaga minus two, and so I'm happy to take the money line with Gonzaga here.
Don't you think Gonzaga's in the greatest spot they could ever be in, Mike? I mean, like, there's no pressure on them. Nobody expects them to even win this game. I mean, they can play loose. Timmy can do, you know, what he wants to do. It's like, I get UCLA. I love UCLA. I think they're tremendous. But to me, this is Gonzaga's embracing this. We're not the lead dog any longer.
It's amazing what the difference when the pressure is on and the pressure is off can do for a team. And in this case, you hit the nail on the head, Michael, right? The pressure's off this year. They're not the number one seed in the overall tournament. They don't have a top three draft pick on their team this year. They have much more of a conglomerate of guys who all are able to contribute and able to score, and they enjoy playing together. And you can see them playing looser this year than you did in the previous years. I think that makes a difference as well. They started as an underdog. They became the favorite, and this year they're the underdog again. I think they embrace that role a lot better.
Looking to tomorrow, Creighton and everybody's Cinderella Princeton going head-to-head. Princeton won straight up as a plus 850 dog against Arizona, then dominated Mizzou as a plus 230 dog, now 4-1 money line in this game, getting 9.5, 10 points. And I know they say Cinderella goes to die in the Sweet 16. It's like around this time where it just doesn't work out
anymore. The shoe doesn't fit, right?
I took the 10 points with Princeton because I don't need them to win. I just need them to not lose by 10. What's your approach to betting this game, Mike?
I'm with you. I took Princeton plus the 10 points in this spot. I don't think Creighton is the right team to blow them out. I think if they get past Creighton and they face Alabama, then watch out. Bama could beat them by 50. but there's a lot of trends here that go really well with taking Princeton in the points. Teams ranked over 9 in the Sweet 16 or 16-7 against the spread since 2016. Teams that covered both of their first two round games by 10-plus points since 2016 are 16-2-1. UConn and Princeton both did that this year, so they're the two teams that fit that trend. This is a Princeton team that's going to slow the game down and try and keep it close. My biggest concern for Princeton here, they rely on the two-point shot. Creighton, very good at not letting you get to the rim. They're going to force Princeton to take a lot of jumpers, so it's all about whether or not they're able to make them. But in my mind, 10 is just a little too much in this spot.
You know, I love your Texas pick against Xavier. I'm not sure, you know, Xavier was in command in the Pitt game, but I just think Texas is really a good team from a great conference. To me, this seems a little small. Now it's up to 4.5. We had it at 4 today. You probably bet it at 4, right, Mike?
Yeah, I got it at 4 yesterday. I would still play it here at 4.5. Texas was phenomenal in the Big 12 tournament, able to blow out Kansas there in the final. This is a Xavier team that feels a little bit like a paper tiger. You watch their last couple games. They were able to hit a lot of shots. They had a couple guys step up and just absolutely go off. Not sure they're going to be able to do that against this Texas defense. This is the first big-time program Xavier's going to play this year in the tournament. I think Texas is able to get the job done here and just absolutely smother them on the defensive side of the ball.
Mike, quickly, any bets to be made on who can win it all?
I really like Alabama, which is not my norm. I'm not usually a chalk guy, but give me Alabama plus the 350. And there's a big reason for this here. This drew out perfectly for them to get to at least the final game at this point. Right now you get them plus 160 to make the final game. I'd rather take the plus 350 because it gives you the opportunity to decide how much risk on you want here. If you look at their road forward, they're 7.5-point favorites against San Diego State. They're going to take on the winner of Creighton Princeton after that if they advance. They get out of there, they're going to go down and face a really weak East bracket winner in the Final Four. To me, their path to the final game is very, very simple. So if you can get them at plus 350, you're able to then reassess what you want to do once you get to that final game. You can decide to hedge off a little bit. I think they're a favorite against anyone. The only team that they would not or be a close dog to, maybe Houston. But if you feel like they're, let's say, minus 130, minus 120 at worst, that plus 350 has a ton of value, like the path to the final game.
Yeah, the path is certainly in their favor. Mike, thank you so much. We appreciate you.
Thanks, Mike. See you Sunday, Mike. Good, we'll see you. We'll both see you on Sunday,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Sunday morning.
We'll have the red carpet out for you.
At SamaBomb18, make sure you give them a follow. I'll be sweating out an Alabama future as well. I bet them exclusively because of their path, and I picked them in my bracket.
Yeah.
And so I was like, if they win the bracket and I don't have a bet on this, I'll be livid. So yeah. That's a good hedge for my San Diego State team, right?
Stormy, I like it. Yep, absolutely.
Emotional hedge did end up coming through.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get everything you need to bet the madness this year for just $19, whether you're doing your bracket work or betting against the spread. Our whole team is here to get you ready for each game of the tournament. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get unlimited access to daily best bets, tools like betting splits, and a whole lot more. Again, in-depth breakdowns of every team for every game remaining. Sign up today, get the betting guides plus full access to VSiN through the end of the tournament for just $19 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Welcome back in to Circa Resort and Casino. And now we've got a Michael sandwich happening. Michael Lombardi to my right, Mike Palm, VP of Operations here at Circa Resort and Casino to my left. Welcome in, Mike.
Excuse me. Thank you, Stormy. Nice to be in studio with you and Michael. Nice to have Michael in town.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
Yes.
Got to get him out looking for houses.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Yes,
yeah.
When's the move, Michael? When's the move?
No, I don't think so. I mean, but it's nice to be back. You know, I made that drive in 1981. I started my career driving across the country to come to UNLV to work for the Running Rebels, and it's been, so that was kind of like a nostalgic drive for me coming across the country again.
How long did you take?
It took me 4 days. It took 4 days.
4 days. Ben Fox took 6 months when VSiN hired him to come cross country. It was absolutely unbelievable. Michael did it in 4 days.
You know, I think when I go back, I want to stop along the way and, you know, and do the show if I can keep doing the show and look at some things. Because, like, will you ever go to Mount Rushmore? Like, it's something you think about, but you never plan to go there. So there's a lot of things I kind of want to do along the way.
Meanwhile, when I moved back to Vegas, I packed two suitcases and flew on down here from North Carolina. Meanwhile, my significant other and his dad drove a U-Haul the whole way and had the most swollen feet.
That's why you knew you were in love. Yeah, exactly.
That's how I knew he was a keeper.
Yeah.
Let's talk through the NCAA tournament to this point. I heard you say on Follow the Money this morning that last week, that four-week stretch might have been the best ever here.
Yeah, it was quite a good stretch. Really good days on Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday was kind of a push, but we did very well. We wish we could transcribe that to Super Bowls. You know, we've lost three out of four Super Bowls, but this was good. And the two weekends before as well, and weeks with the conference tournaments, this whole slate of end-of-the-year college basketball has been great.
Yeah. Mike, Thomas Gable was on the show earlier in the week, and he was talking about, and we were off camera, off air talking, a lot of his high rollers that live in the hotel during the season, football, they stay for basketball. They leave when the tournament because they feel like the numbers are perfectly set. Do you get that sense too?
I have a friend of mine who's a professional bettor, and he said, the NCAA tournament is for the fans, not the bettors.
That's interesting.
That's what he's not. The regular season is for the bettors, but this event that they orchestrate is for it. And he's mad at himself again because he had a losing first weekend. He said, I just have to give it up and not get involved when the tournament
and
starts.
And that's what the guys in Jersey did. They just left it. They basically gave up the presidential suites of the Borgata and went home. I mean, and that's kind of interesting that you say that. And yet it's a huge, maybe that plays into why it's such a huge moneymaker for the casino, for the hotels.
Well, how many times is Princeton going to beat Arizona in the regular season? Yeah. How many times is Fairleigh Dickinson going to beat Purdue? These things don't happen in the course of a regular season. I remember Oregon got beat by Texas Southern a couple years ago as a 30-point favorite, and Virginia lost to Chaminade and Maui. But this doesn't happen, these 15s and 14s. And this just doesn't happen. 20-point favorites don't lose games.
Yeah, two number one seeds, two two seeds, and a three seed all out the opening weekend. Plus you had all of the under money that that no public bettors were on because it was like, what, 37 and 15 to the under, I think, early. So just left and right.
It's quite a story, though, about the basketballs and Mark Few coming out and talking about
balls
and overinflated. He said these balls are overinflated in the tournament and the balls are too slick. They're not rubbed down. That's not what we play with in the regular season, and the shooting is off.
And they're orange as orange could be. Yeah. I mean, Sinatra's favorite color was orange, and they're really orange. I mean, it's unbelievable. You could just feel like – remember when you were a kid at school and you went, kickball, and the balls were really inflated, like tight, so you could kick them? That's what they look like from just my view from the television. They look way too perfect.
I think a story that's a little bit underreported is this Iowa State-Pittsburgh game. So they're in the shoot-around before the game, and Iowa State goes to the officials and says the rim is not level on this end. They went up and measured it, and the NCAA comes out and said, we made a minor adjustment, meaning the rim was not level.
Yeah.
But that took 10 minutes out of Iowa State's shoot-around away, and they said, do you want an additional 10 minutes? And they said, no. Well, they started the game 2 of 19 from the field, but they also went 2 of 19 to start the second half on the other side. But think about it, playing in Charlotte in an NCAA tournament game and the rim wasn't level.
Yeah, can you imagine that? How does that happen?
Well, it's like having the bad grass in Phoenix all year. Yeah. They never could fix that problem in Glendale, and they didn't fix it for the Super Bowl.
George Thoma's never allowed back in Philadelphia. Yeah. He'll never get a drink in Philadelphia. You know, there's just no chance. But look, we played on that same field, and Belichick and Danny Amendola told this story too. It's you got to wear the seven. You got to wear the seven studs to play on that field. If not, you're going to slip.
The kickers on the kickoffs couldn't keep their feet.
In Green Bay, though, Mike. Yep. If you watch any Packer game in Lambeau Field, your kicker slips. Right. If you don't wear the heavy spikes, if you don't wear the 7-inch, you're going to slip on Lambeau Field.
I want to go to something that you had led the show off with, the strange incident in Dallas night with the now the officials have to come out to the pool reporter and give an explanation. And what the lead official said is, we pointed Golden State's way when the ball went out of bounds and then pointed to Dallas because it was their mandatory timeout. We did not signal it was Dallas's ball. But why don't they stop and say, hey, it's not your ball? I mean,
so that's what I said.
Right. We talked. We had we've had discussions with, and that's what they said. And so, my question is, when the official gave the ball to the Golden State player and he saw all the Dallas Mavericks down there, it just comment, you would say, no, don't do that. Steve Kerr doesn't want free 2 points. I mean, he would have understood the same thing.
You said that official. Well, how does that official ever work in Dallas?
How does he ever work?
You know what I thought of when you said that? I thought of Mike Carey. And remember, Mike Carey did not do Redskins games for many years. It wasn't public that was going on. but he wouldn't do their games.
No, and I forget who did the Super Bowl, but I've also said that he's not going to do any Eagle games. Yeah. He will not be in Philadelphia. He might do an Eagle game, but it's going to be out of town. It's not going to be in Philadelphia, especially because of the call that Bradbury admitted he held on.
Yeah. Well, this thing, the incident
was
last night.
Was it Vinovich? It was, no.
No,
it was,
no. Greg, Jeffers.
Yeah.
Bill Vinovich.
Should have been Vinovich's year to do it. Why did they go out of rotation back to Jeffers?
I have no idea.
Bill Vinovich is a great Mountain West referee once upon a time.
Bill Vinovich is hands down the best official in the NFL,
the best
right?
Game
it's
with
not
Vinovich.
Even it's you not get... even close. He'll be marred a little bit by that non-pass interference call in the Rams, but that wasn't his call.
It wasn't his call.
Not his call at all.
His games are the best games.
Because he controls the
exactly.
It's not as much and these guys that run the training camps and that are the head of officiating in these leagues will tell you. It's not so much about your judgment calls, but how you control the game, how you deal with the players and the head coaches that make you a good official.
So speaking of officiating, a game I'm curious how that's going to come into play with the Sweet 16 is this Tennessee-FAU game because they were playing such bully ball against Duke. Do you think that these officials might officiate a little bit differently?
You'll know it early, right?
Right.
I mean, that's when you know it. So we've had two, so far in the Sweet 16 round, two games where there's been a decision now, where money is one-sided. One of them is the Tennessee-FAU under is getting bet, and the other is they're betting UConn off the board here against Arkansas. I was in Des Moines. I couldn't ask for two better games to go, but Musselman is so good.
Yeah.
He is incredible. That's all I kept saying. They shouldn't even have been in that game.
No.
They were down 12 in the second half. You
saw it live. Mm-hmm. Nick Smith, a lottery pick?
No. No.
I mean, how do you get this perception?
But in the NBA, it's about your body, and it's about it. Where in the NFL, I think it's more about performance. And I think in the NBA, they always see potential. Where in the NFL, you have to have proved something, unless Anthony Richardson goes
first. I was
going to
say, well, unless you have somebody prove it for you, which is what Josh Allen has done essentially for Anthony Richardson.
That Arkansas crowd. Now, I always joke with you because on that bowl game you did against Penn State, you were having such a good time with the Arkansas crowd.
They
traveled unbelievably well to Des Moines. They were so loud that Arkansas. I was blown away by the support the Arkansas. And then of course Musselman took the shirt off and went up.
I think it was it's a hard ticket to get it. You know, I mean, I'm sure there'll be a lot of Razorback fans out here today in Vegas. I'm sure it'll be packed.
Well, you know, there'll be a ton of Gonzaga fans, UCLA fans, Arkansas fans.
So I asked Stormy this: do they clear the arena out and re-enter, or do
so
you,
this no, is no, the same not, session, right?
This is one session. Yeah. Like in Des Moines on Thursday, you had two afternoon games, clear the arena, two night games, two sessions. Even though they were different regions, it was one session. The two games I saw, it was a Midwest and a West game.
Got it. So that's why the tickets are so hard to come by. Yeah, I could see that now because you got all those UCLA Gonzaga fans. They're gonna, you know, there's gonna be a huge secondary market out there.
Is there a game you're most excited for, like as a viewer?
I think UCLA Gonzaga might be the best game of this round. I know there's Michigan State, Kansas State's a sneaky game too. I know people are very split on this. A lot of people really like Michigan State, and a lot of people really like Kansas State.
We're of the Kansas State crowd on this desk.
I don't know. There's a video on Twitter with them a few weeks ago before the game, you know, snapping their fingers to some hip-hop song. I don't know if you've seen it. It's amazing, the rhythm and all this, and the coach is leading them. And the one guy's comment was, I remember when our coach used to give us inspirational speeches about how he fought the Nazis.
No, I did not see that video.
It's a good. I watched it over and over. It's an amazing video.
It's
I don't know, little pump baby, whatever.
Yeah. You got to change your story. Yeah. You can't tell the same story.
Right.
Mike is going to stick around. We're going to come back with Palms Pressing 3. My first time getting to witness this in person. Very excited. Don't go anywhere. This is the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back, everybody. Remember, BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert those points into BetMGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Rewards properties located on the Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. We are live from downtown Las Vegas at Circa Resort and Casinos. We welcome you back to the Lombardi Line, and it is time for Palms Pressing Three. Mike Palm.
Thank you, Stormy. Michael, the Panthers.
Sir. I'm dug
have,
in here.
Have the number one pick and are saying things like, quote, "We are evaluating all the quarterbacks at the top of the draft and we like them all." Frank Reich made a specific point of not ruling out Bryce Young because of his size. Why the chicanery? We know that the NFL doesn't want to ruin their TV show of the draft by spoiling the number one pick. But don't the Panthers have to have already decided who they were going to take before giving up that much in the trade? What are they accomplishing with all this rhetoric? And who is actually making this pick? Is it David Tepper or Frank Reich?
Well, I think it's David Tepper for certain. I think to answer that, the last part of your question, it's David Tepper's franchise. David Tepper sets the direction. Who else would have altered the course of going after Deshaun Watson and then not going after Lamar Jackson? Only one man, David Tepper. So he's setting the course, and he is the guy driving it. Now, I think what he's trying to do is give everybody a voice, collaboration, worst word you could ever possibly hear. So you bring 14 people with you to Ohio State. To answer the first part of your question is, I do not believe you make this trade without knowing who you're going to get. Because here's what I do know about football, and I do know about drafting. There's no two players are the same. Like, there's just no two players. Oh, if we don't get him, we'll get him. We'll be okay. No, that's not the same. Like, neither – when this is over and analyzed, one player is going to be elite and one player is going to be okay. They're not going to both be elite. They're just not. So when I was in one of my first drafts, when I went to Cleveland, we had this personnel director, and you would give out your report, and you would say, "I gave him a 59, and somebody else would say, "I gave him a 64, and he'd get his calculator out. I said, "Okay, we'll make him a 62. Well, that's the one grade he's not, right? He's not a 62. He's either a 64, he's a 59, or he's something else, but he's not that. So to me, they know who they want. And I think what Tepper's doing is trying to allow Frank to have a voice to share he wants a bigger quarterback, and then they're going to go down to Alabama today. They'll fall in love with Bryce Young because it's easy to do that. And I think ultimately it will be Bryce Young. And I think it's comical that the betting market is reacting to it based on verbiage and based on the Dick Vitale performance of ESPN, the worldwide leader. Oh, my God, he's the greatest. Look at him throw. I mean, I was at Jake Locker's workout at Washington. The ball didn't hit the ground. He was terrible. The workout was just horrible. But yet the worldwide leader thought it was incredible. But my question back to you is, you ever heard the worldwide leader say a workout wasn't great?
That's why my father would turn off the football games on Sunday Night Football. He says, because every player can't be the greatest, and every player is the greatest, according to these announcers.
How much do you think the betting market is going to move from yesterday to today? Because we had the -185 for CJ Stroud to be the favorite to now $4. But then after Bryce Young's pro day
It'll
today,
come
are we going
to
see
like
it come back down?
Like 220, probably. You know, he's still got the height. The height thing will linger in the market, right?
So let me
with
ask you this. I said this. If Bryce Young's 6'2", it's the easy
but
first pick
overall. It's not even on the board.
It's not even on
no,
the board.
No, it's not on the board.
Okay, right. Number two.
Is there, and speaking of Lamar Jackson, is there any chance that the Patriots could be a sneaky Lamar Jackson landing spot? Belichick did bring in Cam Newton, who was nowhere near as good then as Lamar is now, granted, at a flea market price. There were rumblings that many upstairs in New England weren't thrilled with Max Jones's outbursts last year.
No doubt.
With the rest of the division clearly ahead of the Patriots at this point, is there any chance they make a splash?
I don't think so. And I think that they're going to go down this Mac Jones road or Bailey Zappi road and see if they can get it fixed. I think they're in a process of refixing their offensive line. They've got $100 million worth of cap room next year in the offseason. So they're really well stacked in terms of financially. And the team's going to get good around them. So I don't think it's Bill's style to pay. Look, it's hard. One thing about Bill, when you talk to him on the telephone and you say, "Hey, would you be interested in this guy?" He said, "Well, we're paying this player this. It would be hard for me to pay that player that." He's very cognizant of what he pays his players compared to what the guys are getting. So for him to sit there and say, "I want Lamar," and never have paid Brady would be hard.
Question three, Michael. Have you studied the top four college quarterbacks on film yet? And what conclusions, rankings have you come to? I personally thought Hendon Hooker was better than Anthony Richardson and Will Levis. Would you be surprised if the Vikings grabbed Hooker in the first round?
I think that would be a complete shock, and here's why. The Vikings are analytical. And so when you're an analytical team and you do everything based on analytics, age of the player is one of the most important factors in that decision. And because Hooker's so old, they're going to put pass on that. So Hooker's going to get – he's going to pay a penalty for that. And I think a lot of people are going to look at the offense that Hooker runs and feel like it really makes him a better player. I do believe watching the four quarterbacks, you know, I started out that I wasn't in love with Bryce Young because he's 5'10", but the more I watched of Bryce Young play, he's really a good player. And I worry about his height and I worry about his ability to stay healthy, but he makes all the throws. He's got a better arm than Tua. He's got unique instincts and he's got that point guard mentality that he looks like Steph Curry out there on the court. He really does. He makes a lot of great decisions with the ball and he's tough. I think Stroud was better than I was. I still think he's too robotic. I have Stroud behind him. Levis, I'm not a fan of. I think Levis is a good workout player. I don't think he's instinctively. Somebody's got to explain to me why Sean Clifford beat him out at Penn State. I'd like to know that. Anthony Richardson, to me, in our grading system that we used in Cleveland that's still used in New England today, is a developmental player. He's a 6'0". You can't draft him that high. He's got great skill. I watched Anthony Richardson play 2 years ago, and I said on my show here that I thought he would be a first pick, and he could be the first pick overall. But he's got no production to match his athletic skill. And I don't want to hear this nonsense, well, he'll eventually get – you don't have enough time to get there. He's a really good athlete. He really is. And he's going to be a hard player, but he's not ready to play football yet. He's going to have to sit and redshirt. Whoever drafts him is going to have to redshirt him.
A couple follow-ups.
I have some, too.
With Stroud, here's the criticism I have of Stroud, too, is – And maybe it's unfair, and maybe it's just because of what Ryan Day wants, but he never seemed willing to want to run the football when there were scrambling available to him in these. And the games, especially when Ohio State was losing to Oregon. And that,
or the Michigan
He was unwilling to run, and they did not call design run plays for him.
No.
This is an NFL of dual-threat quarterbacks. Does that lower his ranking to you, or is that just a function of Day's philosophy?
I think it's Day's philosophy, but I think carrying on to Day's philosophy is this, is when you watch the tape, all he does is look at the sideline. And it's hard for your quarterback to constantly have to look at the sideline when you have to come into the huddle and then say the play and make sure, hey, the left tackle, I'm going to need you a little bit more on this play. You got to have this whole comprehensive verbiage that he doesn't get Ohio State. That Ohio State offense appears to be a pro offense. It's not. It's a college offense that's really helped from the sideline. I think that hurts him more than ever. And I think he played less robotic than Fields, but it's still robotic.
My follow-up is about Anthony Richardson. Obviously, the big knock on him for great reason is that the accuracy is terrible. Historically, in the NFL with quarterbacks, isn't accuracy like the most difficult thing to be able to correct when you go up to the next level? Josh Allen did it. Josh Allen got the footwork corrected, and he got his accuracy in check. Can you think of another example that did that, though?
It's hard, but even Josh Allen. I mean,
if
you watch the tape, he's not as accurate as people think he is. There's throws he misses. You know, there's a lot of throws he misses that you would say, why didn't you make that? I think it's a little – Josh Allen is a big brute who's physical, and maybe Josh Allen's helping Anthony Richardson, but I do think that it's hard to improve accuracy. And that's what Bryce Young has beyond any of these other guys. He can put the ball where he wants to put it. What does Brett Favre say? Every quarterback can throw it through the door. Some can hit the doorknob. The great ones throw it through the keyhole. And I think Bryce Young's the only one in this draft that throws it through the keyhole.
Michael, you said they brought 14. There aren't 14 people in the world that can evaluate quarterbacks effectively. When you were evaluating prospects, what position did you feel most comfortable with evaluating?
I really feel good about my ability to evaluate offensive and defensive linemen. So to me, that's where whenever I start a draft prep, I start on the offensive and defensive line because I think that's where the game is. I'm not very good at linebacker. I struggle with that because there's part of me that wants a bigger linebacker and then I want the speed guy. And linebackers today in the NFL really are more about covering punts than they are reading and diagnosing. You just got to be able to run to the football.
Well, now I'm going to be that much more excited to evaluate some of those position groups when we get into it ahead of the draft coming up. Thank you so much for doing this. Appreciate you.
You're welcome.
Mike Palm, VP of Operations
here at Circa
Resort and Casino. Everybody get out here because the Sweet 16 is going to be popping at the world's largest sports book as well as Stadium Swim. That's a wrap for today's edition of the Lombardi Line. Thanks for checking out VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Keep it locked here all day and get set for all the big games. Good luck with your bets.